It's the Grumpy Old Gits in residence, and this week we're joined by James Easter, owner of Travel Plus Tours in Ipswich.
Good morning, young man. How are you?
Well, Anthony, for ages. Well, I did see you last week very fleetingly, which we'll get onto in a moment. And Wayne Burns here, manager of Leicester Film Theatre.
Good morning.
Wayne, you well?
Very well, and yourself?
Yeah, yeah, we're all quite perky so far. We'll see how long that lasts. And Matt Porter from Matt Porter Web Design at Innovation Martlesham at Adderstroll Park. Hello, Matt.
Good morning.
Are you in good form as well?
I'm not too bad, thank you very much.
Right, good, good. Well, that's a nice start.
Yeah, it's about as high as so far. The highest standards it's going to get.
I think we'll leave it there.
Yeah. Off we go.
Thanks for coming in. James, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I think we were just talking about seeing each other last week, and a lot of us all went to Knightsey's funeral Seven Hills. I cannot believe it's about the fourth time I've been there. Fortunately, I haven't been to mine yet. But every time I go there, it's packed out, which is very nice for the person who's put his toes up. But why, oh why, do we build crematoriums, especially the ones at Ipswich, which are plainly not big enough? You know, they spent millions, God knows how much money, on Seven Hills up there. It looks very, very nice. But there were so many people there, they were virtually queuing up in the car park at the Shepherd and Dog pub. Mm. You know, the cars were in the woods. You couldn't find anything. There must have been 300 or 400 people there. Why don't they just build a big place and section it off?
Yep.
It's crackers. Absolutely crazy. Every single funeral I've been to, people have been standing outside. Mm. Yeah, it's
maybe
unbelievable.
Maybe you just go to the funerals of popular people.
I'd only go to the funerals of popular people.
Because the danger of that, I suppose, if you have a really big... is that if it's like will happen when I go, it will be just three men and a dog, then you're all rattling around in a massive, great big hall and somebody's
and
talking
the
about
whole
your life echoing.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of building a big place and sectioning it off.
Yeah, with dividers.
Absolutely. Very easy to do, but I am absolutely convinced that the people who built that organised our traffic system in Ipswich. Totally convinced of it. And they haven't got a Scooby-Doo about the general public and how things work. They have this little cocoon that they work from, and they think this is a wonderful idea. Talk to the people who deal with it the whole time. And I was talking to some of the funeral directors. They said it's crazy. Mm. About every third funeral they have up there, it's packed out. Mm. I know it doesn't really matter to the person who's smoking away, but on the other hand, you know, the people who are around there do need a little bit of comfort.
Mm. I feel better for that now, James. Yeah. Any of you guys want to add, or should we move on?
Well, perhaps we should have two sittings.
Two sittings, yes.
Yeah. I suppose a matinee in an evening or something, you know.
And you want to be done rare or well done.
There must be some kind of figure that they've come up to, that how many people on average go to a funeral, but that's not good enough, is it? You're right, because if you do end up with a packed out place with people standing outside and things like that, then they're not able to grieve.
Yeah. I felt very sorry for the family, because the family had put an enormous amount of time in there, and everybody I spoke to was grizzling. Mm. And after all, a lot of people, sadly, who die these days are of senior years. So they're, by the very nature of them, their friends and associates will be of senior years. Mm. Fortunately, I'm not there yet. But on the other hand, what are you smiling for? It'd be nice for everybody to sit down. You know, well,
it makes you wonder.
There was
if this
more people there than there was at Portman Road a couple of days later.
Is it?
Which Knightsey would have loved, by the way.
It would need. Yes.
Is this possibly why, do you think, that people are having more and more small family funerals and then services of remembrance in a church or elsewhere afterwards? Do you think that may be possibly why you see a lot more of this happening now?
But then you have to schlep around trying to find somewhere to hold that. Mm. Mm. The beauty of the whole thing was it was a humanist funeral.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any religious person. Do you know, I once went to a funeral and the guy got the person who died, he got his name wrong. I could not believe that.
Well, that's not good. But the comments are noted, James. Bit of a squeeze last week, I think, probably just to say the least. Wayne.
Now,
hello. What do you want to go with first?
Well, look, do you know what? This is something... It's funny, because when you ask to be a grumpy old git, you sit there and you think, what am I going to moan about? Because I'm not traditionally a misery guts.
Really?
But I do quite a good job on a Friday, don't I? And one of the things that's really got to me for so long now, and why I haven't brought it up before, I don't know, and it must have been discussed around this table before, is people's lack of indication on the road. It costs on average, anything between £800 to £1,200 to pass your driving test. A good few years ago when I passed mine, I actually failed mine the first time because I failed to indicate.
Oh, right. So you've got this from a position of strength.
Ever since then, it has been a mission of mine to always, but always, indicate. And it really cheeses me off when you get people pull out, they turn right, turn left without any notice. They just snap on the brakes and off they go. And the biggest bugbear is on roundabouts. And the times I have sat at roundabouts waiting and waiting. Marlesham one at Tesco's there, that's the nightmare for me. Because if you're coming back Felixstowe way, you're wondering, are they turning off? Are they coming all the way round? And the times I've sat there, and then you think, oh, I'm going to pull out, and that person is going over, so they nearly hit you.
That's right. Dreadful.
Crazy. And it's quite a fast roundabout there as well, isn't it?
It is. Well, a lot of them now.
It's usually the same people who don't put their lights on when it's raining.
Yes.
And I've got the theory of that, is they think they're saving electricity.
Yes. Yes.
But what are you going to do? How are you going to stop it?
Well, I just think we
run into them.
Yeah, but this is the annoying thing, because if there was an accident, we'd probably be at fault.
But by the very nature of it, if they're coming from the right-hand side, which they would be, you are at fault.
Yeah. So here's another little thing. A few years ago, a couple, 3 years ago, and this wasn't done on purpose, but there was a car who didn't indicate, and I followed them, and they pulled into the garage, as did I, not maliciously. I pulled in, I needed fuel, so did they. And I was across the way, and I just shouted, "Excuse me, your indicators aren't working."
Lovely.
To which they checked, and I said, "Yes, they are." And I said, "Oh, well, you should try using them on the roundabout then." And I was swiftly told where to go.
Yeah.
But it does annoy me, and I think anyone who's listening, anyone who's on the road, it's just a matter of courtesy and safety at the end of the day.
You get the same thing when you've got a lot of traffic and you've got people parked and you see someone coming down the road and you pull in and let them pass that traffic and then they don't thank you.
Oh.
That's when I really, really lose it.
Yeah.
And I'm very quick on my window and winding it down and passing the time of day with them.
Yeah.
I think that sort of boils down to consideration, doesn't it? Or lack of consideration. That
lack
people
of
aren't,
manners.
People aren't indicating because they're not considering other road users around them, perhaps. They're not... when I'm travelling around, you know, one of my irritations regarding indicating can be... not necessarily not indicating, but indicating so late that you're sitting there waiting to pull away from something and then someone will suddenly indicate and you think, well, if I'd have known that 5 seconds earlier, I could have just carried
on. It's
usually
the same type of person in my book who does that.
I get that pulling out, actually, of the road at the bottom there. There's a roundabout fairly close by, and, of course, some traffic will come in, and it's a busy junction. Either they don't indicate at all, or they indicate so late, you think, thanks very much, I could have gone there, and now I've got a whole stream of traffic.
Or they're going to stop. They're going to stop, but they don't indicate that they're stopping. They just suddenly stop, don't they, in the middle of nowhere.
But I do. I often find I'll talk to some people and say, "God, it's really dangerous out on the roads. So I get cut up all the time." And I think, hang on, it doesn't really happen to me that much. That's normally about your driving, isn't it? If you're getting cut up all the time, then you're probably not being considerate to the other person.
Possibly. I was cut up quite badly a few weeks ago when I was on my bike by a couple of young ladies, and they pulled right out in front of me, nearly took me off the bike. And
they're
then
probably
I,
talking or on the phone.
And then I sort of slung my arm up in the air and said, "Thank you very much," loudly, and then they stamped on the brakes, and I went round them, and then
really?
They started screaming abuse at me and swore at me and everything. Unfortunately, it was on camera. I had recording it, so they should be receiving something through the post. But is consideration. If people are more considerate, then I think we'd be...
I just think they get lazy, don't need to.
No,
you know, people.
I think it's lazy.
For some, it is roundabouts. For some reason, it seems to be the norm for so many people on a roundabout just not to bother. We're supposed to predict where they're going, left, right, straight ahead, whatever.
I always used to think how nice it would be to have a centre indicator on your car. So if you're going straight on, you could somehow indicate... On a junction that you were going straight.
I have a theory on something like a roundabout. I just keep going and they usually get out of the way.
Well, you can develop that, Matt.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Great idea.
If you develop the central indicator.
Side lights is another one. They're useless things, they are, side lights, aren't they? What is the point of having side lights? You either have lights or you don't have lights.
Well, it's a hangover from other countries where having your lights on all the time is the law.
Yeah.
So
it's very sensible. You go to Sweden, they're all the time. Germany's doing it. I just don't understand. At certain makes of cars, you actually have to physically change the car to turn the lights
off.
That's right. Yeah.
But I'm convinced they all think you've got to put more money in the meter.
Yeah. Right, so we've done indicators and we've done the fact that crematoriums aren't big enough, or the surroundings of them. Have you got any thoughts on those? We'd love to hear them. 81333 on the text. Call us on 01473 212121. And there's loads more to come. Perfect. The Grumpy Old Gits are here with us for a Friday. James Easter, owner of Travel Plus Tours in Ipswich. Matt Porter from Matt Porter Web Design at Innovation Martlesham at Adderstal Park. And Wayne Burns, manager of the Leyston Film Theatre. And we've made a good start, but we're warming up nicely. Where have we got to here? I'm just trying to see
Matt
if we've...
Matt hasn't had a go.
No,
yet.
I was going to say you haven't had a go. What do you want to start
well, can
with?
We go downhill from now if it's...
Well, no. I think...
They. My bugbear is they. When people say, they say it's going to rain. Or they say you shouldn't mix the grain with the grape. Or they say interest rates. Who are they? You know, they. Who are these they? Because generally they are... The Daily Mail or the Weatherman on the BBC, but everyone always says, oh, they say you shouldn't do that. Who are they? It really gets on my wick, really, the people quote they, this they.
So do you think, what would make it better, though, Matt?
Should be more specific. I read in the paper that interest rates are going up, you know, not they say interest rates are going up. It's all too vague.
It's too lazy, is it? Is that what you
think?
Saying?
It is, yeah.
Well, basically, they don't know where it's come from. It's the easy way of using it.
Isn't it? It's a kind of get-out clause for probably incorrect information.
I get annoyed when people say, everyone's doing this, or everyone's going somewhere, and you think, well, I said, well, I'm not going.
They.
So everyone's not. But a lot of people do that, don't they?
Well, yeah. Assuming
don't
that,
they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cloak they do, cruise. Don't they?
Well, everyone does it. I think
everyone does it.
So do I.
Well, that's the trouble, because everyone doesn't do anything.
No,
because even 100% people don't vote for Vladimir Putin in Russia, even though they claim that they probably do.
Yeah.
Like Terry Wogan always used to say, how does it feel to have 8 million listeners? He said, well, look, I'm wondering what the other 52 million are doing.
Because
not everyone does everything. So I think you've got a point there.
Yeah, they're upset in the Ukraine at the moment.
Who?
Exactly.
I tell you what really annoys me. This is not on our little list of people saying me and Ronnie are going out today. Wrong. It's Ronnie and I. Oh, it does annoy me. And you've got newscasters, you've got politicians doing it now.
Yeah.
I wasn't taught that, but I may be wrong because people don't seem to worry about pronunciation.
I would side with you
grammar.
On that, I think. Would you side with him on that?
I think it just slips, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's a crazy slip as you go.
Me and him went out. Well, no, you didn't, actually.
An indicator's just lit up on my screen.
Debbie, all right.
Debbie in Crowfield. I think it's straight ahead. I think she's going to agree with you. Debbie, hello.
Hello.
Hello. We've got you.
Good morning.
Are you a bit angry about the indicators as well?
Well, I have to first of all say that I had to pull over in my car because I was amazed I heard a man... speak some sense.
Which man was that?
Well, me, of course, isn't it, Debbie?
Did you put your indicator out to indicate you were stopping?
I certainly did.
Excellent. You're the one person who's done it. Well done.
Now, it's been a bugbear of mine for years. The fact that you'd spend so much money, as you said, taking a driving test, and as soon as you've passed, half of it goes out the window. Mm. You're supposed to be a mind reader. And the fact that it can cause so many accidents, and this is my chance to stand on my little soapbox and have a go.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Do you feel better, Debbie?
I certainly do.
Good. Was it worth pulling over for, though?
It was.
You're not going to be late for where you're going, are you?
No, I've been to Ipswich. I'm on my way back to my old man now.
Oh, well, there we are. God bless him. Say hello to him for
us. We'll see you at Portman Road.
All right, OK, Debbie. Thanks for coming on.
Take care. Thank you.
There's Bye. Debbie in Crowfield.
That's the first person ever to say that I speak sense.
I know this is a landmark moment.
That's great.
Iva says on the text, I think the new highway code now reads brake at last minute whilst turn whilst signalling.
While then claiming on your insurance. Yeah.
Whilst texting at the same time.
Whilst texting at the same time.
Changing radio station.
Toby says, backing you up, I think, Matt, so I hate the new fad for putting the word so at the beginning of sentences.
Yeah.
That's always... Yeah. Very often, I'll interview somebody now. And it's normally somebody who's a bit younger. Tell us a bit more about, and they'll stop. So what we're talking about here today is, why are you saying that?
Mm.
Why are you saying so? Doesn't make any sense.
I did have a conversation with my stepson about this because he's studying creative writing and English at university at the moment. And I've spoken to him about these kind of things where people say, you know, or I mean. They start a sentence with, I mean, and I do it sometimes. And I think it's he did actually say it was to give the brain a short amount of time to engage before saying something.
I just wonder whether so falls into the same bracket as we had the fad in the 80s and 90s of slightly end sentences by going slightly up because Neighbours was on and it was an Australian thing.
Yeah, it's very true.
That seems to have died out a little bit.
I had a conversation about that as well, but I can't remember what it's called now. There is actually a word for that.
Is there a word
a descriptive
for it?
Word for that kind of...
Is there a word for that?
Yeah. If I remember it, I'll say.
Yeah, OK. So any of those other things that really get on your wick about grammar and the way we're speaking now. I suppose still talking about words, James. Double-barrelled names.
Yeah, this is the new fashion, isn't it? When people suddenly start having double-barreled names, it's usually somebody who's in partnership or they married somebody or whatever. But yeah, it's going out of... Why? It's absolutely crazy. You imagine if you have a guy who's a double-barreled name through many years and he marries a lady who's a double-barreled name. You just want to hope that the son don't play football and need a name on the back of the shirt.
Yeah,
but this is a new fad.
It is.
It's crackers. You try and deal with them. You know, in my business, we have to ticket people who've gone on airlines and bits and bobs. And when you put the double-barreled name on, it's a nightmare. It falls off the end.
So you just get bigger forms.
Yeah, it's absolutely crackers. It's the fad, isn't it? And you
it
say
is.
To somebody, whatever your name, no, my name is now this. Mm. But why?
Mm.
You know, it has no reason. You've been married for 10 years and suddenly you're going to change your name.
Mm. I saw something on the TV last night about millionaires' mansions or something and how they kit them out. And this interior designer, who's married to Sol Campbell, footballer, she's kept her name, but taking his as well. So she's now Campbell Barrett, which I suppose in her line of work...
The German name is Chelsea.
Yeah.
The German name was
very,
soup,
very nice.
It works
Campbell
quite
soup.
Well.
But you have to surely. I would think it'd be nice to sort of make up if you want to keep your name before you got married. Then good luck to you.
Yeah.
But you know why this double barrel is just posy to the absolute end extent.
It is quite trendy now, isn't it? You see
not
more and more
me,
people
isn't?
Doing it. No.
It's a pain.
No.
But wouldn't that? Well, it wouldn't because you're you know. But would it enhance? I suppose from the other side of it, if you're both got the double-barreled name, then
that'd be interesting.
well, because the woman, you'd both have to do it, wouldn't you?
No, apparently it didn't. I know people who you got the husband who's got John Smith, and then the wife is called Joan Smith Barrett.
Mm.
But why?
Mm.
It's crackers.
Well, there was a contestant on University Challenge recently, which was a struggle for the announcer, you know, when they answer the question, because his name was Joly de la Beninier. And so every time he answered a question...
Crackerjack?
Joly de la Beninier. But it was quite interesting watching him every time he answered a question because he was actually quite good at it. And the words, the sentences going up at the end, that's called upward inflection.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Upward inflection.
Nice to be back at school. We're all learning something the other day.
Yes. Right, before we get too carried away, let's set up a competition today because I think if you just hear this and don't know the song immediately, you might struggle to put one with the other. You've got a chance on the lyric competition to win tickets to see Big Girls Don't Cry at the Ipswich Region on Saturday week if you know what song this is.
After long enough of being alone, everyone must face their share of loneliness.
Yeah, I think you're going to need another go at that.
After long enough of being alone, everyone must face their share of loneliness.
Lots of blank looks around here.
Mm, total.
That's good. I like that. 01473 212121 is the number to call. And you have to phone us to get into the draw for the tickets and the duck as well. One more go.
After long enough of being alone, everyone must face their share of loneliness.
And you've got until 10 to 12, and we'll have a winner before 12 midday on BBC Radio Suffolk. The Grumpy Old Gits are here. James Easter, Wayne Burns and Matt Porter with us today. We've had a call from another Grumpy Old Git. Neil Bowles as archetype. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but there we are. It's a free country, isn't it? He says if his wife Linda had kept her maiden name as well as taking his name, that she'd have been Linda Ball Bowles.
So that might be worth considering. Yes.
On reflection.
Yeah.
Name, please. Linda Ball Bowles. Graham and Beckles has been in touch. We're talking about indicators earlier on and people not driving with lights on and everything. And Graham says, new cars are being fitted with daytime running lights on the front. Mm. Why aren't there any on the back? Mm. Volvo and Saab used to have them on the front and back. Are car firms penny-pinching? They only seem to fit one reverse light. That's another thing. You think somebody's lights out when they start reversing. Mm. Actually, the car's only got one reversing light.
Yeah.
And one fog light
as
well.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Yeah.
I don't see the point of having one fog light.
No.
I mean, you know, you might as well just have someone waving a torch at the back.
My reversing light on my Renault 5 that I first had in, it was a 1975 Renault 5, you actually had to put a switch on the dashboard for the reversing light to come on.
Those were the days.
The first car I ever had, the headlight switch was on the floor.
Was it?
You had to push that. My dad, a guy with a red flag in front.
Yeah.
Ran on steam, didn't it?
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah. Wayne.
Yes.
Things that beep.
Cool. Yeah. I'm sitting next to the wrong guy, really, aren't
no,
I?
No, not at all.
We've recently purchased a load of new bits and pieces for the home because the other bits and pieces were wearing out. And I've been amazed at how many beeps the house is surrounded by now. The new microwave beeps at you. Not only when it's finished, but 30 seconds later and every 30 seconds after that.
Yeah, to tell you, to remind you to...
Yeah.
To
but it has to stand for a minute or two in there anyway. I don't need reminding, thank you. I'm cooking it. I know it's in there. The fridge beeps when the door's been open, I don't know, 40 seconds
or
whatever.
Yeah, mine does that as well, yeah.
So I've left that open while I'm getting stuff out and I'm cooking. No, it decides to beep and flash at me. What else does? The car beeps, of course. The car beeps quite a bit now. Mm. And am I right in thinking you don't have to have your...
Seatbelt.
Seatbelt, well done. The seatbelt on when you're reversing, do you?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
No, I'm pretty sure if you're reversing, you can unclip your seatbelt. I'm sure when I learned to drive...
So you can turn around.
And there's times that I will reverse in my drive, not on the road, I hasten to add. And what next? The car's beeping because I haven't put my seatbelt in.
I think that's good.
Whatever I seem to do, everything seems to beep these days around the house. At one time, it was just the
washing
answer phone.
Washing machines beep as
the
well.
The washing machine beeps when it's finished. But it's not just once.
It goes beep, beep,
it beeps
beep.
Every
dishwashers,
minute.
Dishwashers.
Yeah. Yeah. You leave me out of this discussion because I don't know how any of that lot works.
is it the beep you've got a problem with? Would you like another noise?
Well, it's just like being your nags, isn't it? It's like you're being nagged in the kitchen while you're cooking. You go somewhere, you're nagged, you get in the car, you're nagged. Do these manufacturers
That's called a wife.
Think she doesn't beep, trust me. Do you think that the manufacturers actually think we're all quite incompetent? Is that what it is, Mr. Technical Know-how?
They're probably I think that with regard to a fridge, that a fridge, when you buy it, has to show its energy rating certificate on the side, and by having the fridge door open, you're going to be letting out the cold, and therefore will need to be using more energy to make it cold again, so therefore it might be breaking its energy rating.
By opening the fridge, I'm getting the milk and everything else I need to cook.
Yeah,
I don't ask it to beep.
No, but I don't know. I mean, there's probably a whole range of laws that are
so what I end up doing, I shut the fridge to stop it beeping, I open, I start again, next thing you know, it's beeping again.
Well, don't open it.
Well, what
how am I going to cook
that's
it?
My theory as well. Absolutely.
What
I suggest
you
do
is just put a bit of sticky tape over the button when you open it, and then
this is getting very technical. Leave me out of this one.
Yes, yes. But then when I come through and open it at night, instead of putting the light on, I'm not going to see what I'm reaching for, am I?
You need one of those things on your head, don't you?
Yeah,
I don't know why. You technical people always got an answer for everything.
I don't need a beep on the thing because it's got a little temperature that if you've left the door open, then the temperature or it starts leaking out the bottom.
Oh, well, I can't afford one of those fridges.
If it's a fridge, you can smell, can't you?
Well, yeah, exactly. You can smell it a mile off.
That's true.
But no, I think that's a fair comment. James Hazel's here with.
I'm not sure I even know where the fridge is.
I didn't get a beep
Top
when
man.
You walked in, by the way.
Did you not get a beep?
No.
It's because my door is closed.
Yeah. James is here from 12 noon
today.
Yeah,
from 12 today. Today is Silence Day. So the question being, where would you like there always to be silence when you go there? Where would you like there always to be silence?
Well, the natural answer is the library.
The library is the first thing that comes to mind.
In actual fact, our local librarian has just died, and we're celebrating by having 2 minutes' noise.
They're going to be fairly silent.
2 minutes' noise.
Very good.
Boom.
Yeah. Now, what about train carriages?
Yeah.
But they're not actually quiet, though, are they?
Well, no, but, you know, there are certain noises in them you could do without.
They made less
the half of the conversation.
Did you see there's something in Los Angeles is going to allow phones to be used inside of a cinema?
They're going to allow them?
Allow them.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be more friendly to the youngsters. Keep them out. Solves a problem.
Cinema. See, that's another one.
Crazy.
Cinema. Ban them at the cinema. That's true. Also, today we're looking at Scout badges. Do you have any Scout badges? As I go round the room, has any of you got any Scout badges?
I always wanted to be in the guides. Much more fun.
You got a badge for that?
Yeah, I did. I did get a badge for hiking to where I lived in Hertfordshire, hiking to Hitchwood, making a fire, cooking a meal, and then tidying up, and then hiking back.
You probably got 2 years
back.
For that. Yeah. Making a fire.
What's that badge called, then?
Oh, goodness me, I can't remember, but we cheated because we took a bottle of white spirit with us fire going.
The badge needs to come back, then, frankly.
That
should be something.
I think that would be the ingenuity badge.
Or just the cheating badge. Also, back in the day, will be 59. God, that's a long time ago.
That is 59. A very long time ago.
88 also. Mixtape is Etterly George. Mystery Voice is new. And Finian's got the press. So that's all to come later. If BBC Radio Suffolk presenters were the cast of Dad's Army, who would they be? We're also going to have a look at that. Who would they be? Like to be? He's like a bit of a walker. Would you say a walker?
Well, a bit of a spiv. Is that what you're suggesting?
Just, throwing it out there.
Godfrey's a long way down the list.
Godfrey's on overnight.
So all from 12.
All right, James, thank you very much. 17 minutes to 12. We'll give you this one more go, I think.
After long enough of being alone, everyone must face their share of loneliness.
That's our lyric this morning. After long enough of being alone, everyone must face their share of loneliness. If you know what song that is, we've got tickets to Big Girls Don't Cry, which is at the Ipswich Region Saturday week, the Frankie Valli and Four Seasons tribute, and also the Duck as well. If you know what song this is.
After long enough of being alone, everyone must face their share of loneliness.
01473 212121. You need to call us to get into the draw, and the lines will close in about 6 minutes' time. We're going to talk about... we talked about they, Matt.
Mm.
You want to talk about something a bit more traditional?
Yes, traditional. Chivalry. My wife is quite traditional. She likes people to be chivalrous and polite. And she's told me that there aren't so many people, so many elderly people or older gentlemen being chivalrous anymore. She doesn't have the door held open for her when she's going into places, and if people barge past her in queues, that kind of thing. And she likes the traditional chivalrous. She likes people to be polite. And my sort of question is, if these people are going to complain about the youth of today having no respect, then surely they should be leading by example in the first place if they expect politeness to ensue.
We may get into dodgy territory here because there's a whole bunch of blokes just sitting here talking about chivalry. We need a female perspective. So it'd be good to get your view if you're listening to us at the moment, whether you experience that chivalry. Indeed, if you still want it, because I think that gets to the heart of the issue, because surely chivalry was the done thing.
Yeah, I was always taught to hold a door open for a lady.
It's polite.
It is politeness, but it does slice you off when they go past and don't even say anything. So I just say, don't mention it.
Yeah, I do the same. I'd usually
say, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I pride myself in doing my best to be a gentleman. Mm. I do like to hold the doors, to pay people compliments, and to generally do the right thing. And there's times, I mean, you're talking about the older generation here who run the younger ones down and setting an example. I think the younger ones don't know how to cope when
it's
people
it's also
like
not
that
politically correct to do it, isn't it, these days? That's not part and parcel of what they teach kids.
I mean, if there's a little old lady walking down the street with one of these shopping trolleys and it's not wide enough, I will step off that path or wait for them to come past, and 9 times out of 10 you don't get a thank you. You know, and in that situation I don't actually say you're welcome. I don't do it there because it's a little old lady. So I tend to
tend what about to, little old men?
I wouldn't do it with them either.
Because let them get on with it.
I have to say, on the whole, I do find, and I'm probably going to get ticked off for this in Leiston, but I do find that a lot of the older generation can sometimes be ruder than the younger generation.
This is my point.
Well, I wish we'd done this one earlier.
So we had more time to debate. Not all of them, but some of them. You know, people do go out of the way to, you know, like you'll give up a seat somewhere, or you'll go out of your way to make sure that person's all right. You don't get a thank you or any acknowledgement whatsoever. And I just think to myself, you know, they're probably running the younger ones down, setting an example. I don't
exactly.
You know. Yeah, I tend to agree with you there, even if you are a technical know-how.
Well, there is a word for that, isn't there? Hyphenated.
but that's the thing, though. If you're expecting people to be gentlemen, in inverted commas, in this town, do people know what it entails? What that actually means anymore?
Well, you go back to, if you see films of the 40s and things like that, and they pass the lady in the street, they used to doff the hat, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't happen much these days. People don't wear hats these days, do they?
No. I was always told civility costs nothing.
Mm. Is it just politeness, then? Is that what it comes down to? Is that all?
I think general politeness is should be accepted. Mm. Yeah, over the top, I think it's a bit smarmy sometimes.
Yeah, it gets a bit sickening, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but general common courtesy costs nothing.
If anybody ever calls me sir, I clip around the ear.
But in going back to the example of holding a door open for someone, that can still be seen by some people as being a bit patronising.
Absolutely.
I can open my own door.
Yeah.
So where do you draw the line?
Well, then you know that...
You just let it swing straight back into that.
I think we discussed that. You just let go.
But then... That's the thing, isn't it? If particularly if you're a young person and you're being taught manners, what's good for some people isn't good for others.
I disagree.
General consideration for other people.
I don't think it's patronising. I think if you're just propping the door open, if you've got a young girl with a pushchair with a couple of screaming kids, you hold it open. And if it's an old lady with a shopping trolley or whatever, you do what I consider the reasonable thing.
Yeah.
And I would honestly say it's patronising. If they do, they need to get out more.
Yeah. the issue lies with them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It costs you nothing to say thank you.
No,
it costs
doesn't.
You nothing to smile.
No, it doesn't. I've got a thing in my bathroom, and my old Duchess young son, and I put it in my bathroom because it's got a list of what gentlemen should do.
What, in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know,
interesting.
And I just, you never forget things, pay to read. And I just, you know, think to myself, will he take note of that at some point? I mean, he's a nice young lad anyway. But, you know, are the schools doing anything possibly to help these grow into gentlemen?
I don't know whether it should be.
I don't think it's on the curriculum.
I don't think it should be the schools. It shouldn't be the schools' job.
Parents
should
do that.
Well, they won't do it.
Yeah. Well,
maybe that gets to the crux of the problem.
Possibly, yeah.
All right, we're going to draw it to a close there. Apart from one text we've had in from Andy, who says, thank you for mentioning people starting a sentence with "so." It's something I've been talking about for a while now, and it's getting right up my hump. So it is. and Grumpy Lee's back on. You said, you slow down for horse riders, you don't even get a thank you, don't bother now. Says Lee really needs to calm down. That's a bit of anger management going on, but then he is Grumpy Lee after all. James, good to see you. Thanks
very
much for coming.
Friend.
Wayne Burns and Matt Porter, thanks
to
all three of you for being our grumpy old gits for this week, and we'll do it again next week.